are and of all that you have for us, God, that you would stir a hunger, that we want to run after you. Lord, we don't want to just sit back and be bored through life, God, because you've got an adventure for each and every one of us, God. And so I pray that you open up our ears, just waken up our spirits, God, that we would choose to listen to you this morning. And anything that I've prepared that's a waste of time, God, just let it fall away. And pray that we remember the seeds that you want to sow in our spirits this morning, in Jesus' name. Thanks. So many of you probably don't know, I'm currently at school. I am doing full-time ministry school, which has been fun and challenging and crazy. And there's a book that I'm reading at the moment, which is called Winning the War Within. And it's a pastor based in the States who shares the story of his wife walking out of their marriage and the devastation of his heartbreak and how to walk through the forgiveness, the bitterness, the healing of that whole process. He's also like the pastoral counselor at his church, so he helps other people walk through all their struggles and their baggage. And there's a story that he shares about a husband and wife who are struggling. I'm sure most married people can relate to that at some point. Ash is out of the room. I can say whatever I want. Apart from my sister-in-law's here. You keep your mouth closed, lady. And this guy is struggling. So he goes for some counseling. And he's like, my wife's a nag. She does my head in. She's so controlling. I can't go anywhere. She's sucking the life out of me. Whinge, whinge, whinge. And the guy thinks, well, I'm glad I'm not married to her. She sounds like hard work. But so he starts to dig. Okay, like what's going on behind the scenes? He said, so why have you come to see me? Like, how did that happen? Oh, my wife arranged it. Okay, and when you're struggling with your marriage, who do you talk to? Oh, I talk to my mum because my wife's told her that we're struggling. Okay, and how are you loving your wife and how are you serving your wife? And, you know, do you speak her love language, which I won't go into today, but it's a way of loving people well. And he said, oh, she's just never satisfied. Like, I can't do anything right. So this guy's thinking, isn't it interesting that it's all the wife's fault and none of his? And he goes through this process with him to make him realize, do you know what? You're responsible for you. You're not responsible for your wife. You're responsible to your wife, but you're responsible for you and everything happening around you. You actually have control. You don't have control. You have power to influence what is going on. And you can take responsibility for every struggle and actually get some breakthrough. And it sort of hit me around the face a bit. I'm not struggling with Ash, he's amazing. But just this, oh my gosh, I have responsibility. And I feel like this is what God wants to speak into with the whole realm of faith. Like, we have responsibility. God calls us to co-labor with him. So faith is a gift. God gives it to you, but then we're invited to grow it. And people talk about stretching your, building your faith muscles. And I want to encourage us to become a church and a body of Christ that is strong in faith, is strong in our faith muscles, that doesn't just think, oh, well, I believed in God 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago, but actually let's run into him and push into him and see what he has for us. And let's go on this adventure and not be boring British Christians. No offense. I think the culture can be like when I grew up. I'll share about this. When I decided to follow Jesus and joined a church, I was led to believe it was everyone else's responsibility to help me in my faith. The pastor talks to you on Sunday. So, you know, that's where you have a little spiritual meal. You go to a small group. You text your friends when you need prayer. You listen to sermons online. You go to a prayer meeting. And everything, like everything that I was doing in my faith was outsourced to somebody else because it's there. They're the leader. It's their responsibility to feed me. And I honestly didn't really get very far in my faith. Like, I went to night school at church. I went to every meeting and every prayer meeting and because I was obviously hungry. But no one had said to me, you can feed yourself. Like, you can grow your faith yourself. And you can run after everything that God has for you. You don't have to be spoon-fed. And there was a line from a pastoral session that I was having in school. And the leader said, your destiny isn't in anyone else's hands. God will make a way for you. And I was like, oh, you know, we don't have to suck up to leadership. You don't have to be in the right place at the right time, or you're going to miss it, and then your life will never be any good. You know, like, but there's this belief that if I don't get all the ducks in a row, like, I'm going to miss my destiny. I'm going to miss the dreams that I have for my life. And God will make a way for you. It's not on anybody else. It's literally between you and the Lord. And you can decide how far you want to go in your faith with God. He is limitless. He's unlimited. And that invitation probably boggles your brain because we can't understand that concept. But the invitation is limitless. God isn't going to give us our dreams on a silver platter. We are called to co-labor with him. If you could put up the first scripture, Abs, it should be Philippians 2 verse 12. It says, she's great, isn't she? It says, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And this is Paul talking to the churches that he's invested in, he's stewarded, he's raising up. And he's saying, I can't be with you all the time. You're going to have to work on this yourself. And we are so fortunate that we have the Holy Spirit in us and with us. And he is the counselor and he is the teacher and he is the revealer of God's wisdom. But I want to encourage us to work on it. So there is a partnership and a responsibility God is calling us to. So I want to share three super practical ways that we can take responsibility for our own faith. And some of you will be acing them. And some of you may have not even considered them. And others of us will be sort of in between. So I encourage you to grab hold of the one that you think, oh, this is relevant for me. And if you think I'm amazing at all of them, maybe just ask the Lord, hey, we've all got space to grow. So the very first one is listening to God. I don't know if I gave you the scripture in John or Matthew. So John chapter 10, verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. This is an analogy of Jesus saying, I'm a good shepherd. I look after you and you can hear my voice and I speak to you. In Greek, there are two words for the word word. That's a confusing sentence. There is logos, the word of God, the constant, unchanging, steady word of God. And there is rhema, the rhema word of God. In Matthew 4, verse 4, it says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the Bible is written intentionally. And this sentence isn't written in past tense. It doesn't say we live from everything that God said 2,000 years ago or everything that God just says in the Bible. That's that word rhema. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, every alive word, every active word, something now. It says God is still speaking. So the question is, can we hear him or do we listen? And I just want to encourage you that first scripture says, my sheep know my voice. God speaks to you and you do know your voice. So we just silence that lie if you think God doesn't talk to you. That's from the pit of hell. That's not God. He talks to you and you know his voice. So I want to ask you, do you know how he speaks to you? Do you know how you hear him? And that's different for everybody, but he speaks to you. I'm not going to go into like all the different ways he can speak to you, but I just want to say you can hear God. So are you hearing the fresh word of God every day for your life? Like if you miss stuff that God is saying, he's so loving and kind and gracious, he's not going to be like, well, I told you and you didn't listen, so you know, shame, you missed out on that blessing. He doesn't work like that. He will be gracious and say things again. For me, one thing that God said recently is, when you're driving in the car, I want you to sing spiritual songs. I'm driving along when it's just me and Frank, because I think when Ash is there, it's just a bit weird. But I'm driving along and I'm just singing out to the Lord. And I don't know why he's told me to do that. And I don't really like feel anything whilst I'm doing that. But I also think maybe he's trying to cultivate an awareness of the spiritual realm of what's going on. Maybe he's trying to soften my heart so that when I do go to the shops and someone needs something, like I'm aware of what is God doing and how can I pray for people. So he can tell you all sorts of crazy things. I have lots of stories if you want to come ask me them. Number two, declarations. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue and those who love it will eat its fruits. And also Proverbs 23, 7, it says, for, it's not there, Abs, don't worry. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So declarations, affirmations, whatever you want to call them, I think have actually got a really bad rap in the church. The new age hippy-dippy movements in our culture have all this affirmations, I'm going to manifest it, I've got my vision board and and this thing happened and I manifested it. You know, we think, oh, super crazy. That's really dodgy. That's from the devil. But actually, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Like, we are made in the image of a creator God. And he only spoke things into being. The power in his mouth made things happen. And we are created in his image as creative people. And we can create death and life with what comes out of our mouth. So I want to challenge us, what are we speaking out over ourselves? Because this will affect our faith. Like, God isn't with me. He didn't come through for me. He's shown he's not faithful. I've got to rely on myself. You're speaking out rubbish. Like, you might feel like it's true, but feelings change. Like, once you've eaten, if you're a bit hungry, then you feel better. You know, like, they're not the consistent word of God to base your life on. So what are you speaking over yourself? I have a list of affirmations that I try and say every day as much as I can. Like, they're on my mirror and I try and read them over myself. And they are areas that I need encouragement in and areas I need to believe God's truth in, because I am trying to feed my faith and keep going. And where I don't believe something's true, but it's in the Bible, it means I'm wrong, not God. So I'm trying to align my thinking to believe, oh, God is faithful in this. And you can write your own list. I thought I'd bring mine along, but it's like, embarrassing to share. But there's stuff that God has spoken prophetically over, like, assignments that he's called me to do and things that I'm going to achieve in my life. There's super simple stuff like, I am an encouraging wife, and I speak it every day because I want to be my husband's biggest cheerleader, not some constant whinge bag. Your socks are all over the floor again. Please, can you hang up the kitchen towel? Like, I'm going to fall to pieces with these things. But I say every day, I am a super encouraging wife. I am a great mum. I am healthy. I am running after God with everything I have and all sorts of stuff. So I want to invite you to use it as a tool to speak out the word of God of what you need to hear. Amen. And some are scriptures and some are like dreams and hopes, and some are just stuff that I don't yet believe that I'm trying to grow in myself. And the third one is the one that we'll all love the most. Not. It's vulnerability. The third key I believe God wants to use to mature us, especially in this British culture, is vulnerability, because people don't like it. I was raised with the phrase, you may have heard this, love many, trust few, always paddle your own canoe. Like, you don't need anybody else to help you. And my dad said, you don't want to depend on anyone but yourself. And that is so unhealthy. And I believed it with all my heart. And I was super independent and didn't need anybody. And I was an island. And it's taken me a super long time to realize that's not healthy. Like, we're a family. We are all different members of a body. Like, maybe I'm a little toe and maybe you're a big thumb, but we're all in it together. Like, we can't do life alone. And so Galatians 6 verses 1 to 3, I want to read it out in the Message translation because I love how this puts it. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. Amen. You might need forgiveness before the day is out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. If you think you're too good for that, you're badly deceived. The bit I love is share their burdens. Like, how can people come alongside you and love you and help you and be there for you if you're like, I'm an island, I don't need any help? And for me, this is like the thing that God's challenging me the most about at the moment. Like, I've really... I'll be vulnerable. Let's lead by example. I have so struggled becoming a mum in lockdown. Like, I had all these dreams of how it would bring me and my mum closer and all the memories that we'd make with little Frank. And I've not been home for 11 months and it's hurt. And I've been taught, make sure you don't need to depend on anyone but yourself. And trying to raise a poorly kid by yourself, who's currently going through sleep regression, thanks Frank, is really tiring. It's so hard. And I haven't reached out very well. So I text Biebs the other week and then I deleted it before she read it. You know, like on WhatsApp, you can delete the message before they get to it. And I was just like, I've not slept yet today. I've been up all night with Frank. Like, I need help. Please, can someone help me? Just take him away. And And I thought, I sorted some plans out. So I thought, I'll delete that from Beebs. She doesn't need to know it. But why did I hide that? Why did I hide the, do you know what? I can't be a mum on my own. This is hardcore. This is super difficult raising a kid alone. And so, like, we're meant to share each other's burdens. And I'm not saying this gives you permission to be constantly whinging all the time, because you have responsibility for your faith, point one. But I'm just saying, like, we love you guys. We want to come alongside you guys. We are in this together. We are a family. And I want to invite you to be vulnerable with someone. And it'll feel awkward and clunky and like, this is so embarrassing. I'm such a loser. But I want to invite you to, like, let people into your life. I have a gift of encouragement. I love cheering people on. And if you're struggling, tell me, I'll encourage you. Like, God is faithful. He has got this. He won't let you down. You can get through this difficult thing. You know, like, he's faithful to his word. His promises are yes and amen. The gifts of God are irrevocable. Like, he's got good stuff for you. So there's my three keys that I just felt like God wants to encourage us. Like, let's start a tough year out well, and let's decide to run strong and run with purpose and intention. So are you listening to God? What is he saying to you at the moment? And also maybe, like, pay attention and then do it, or trust him, whatever he says, you know, like, make it part of your life. What are you speaking over yourself? Start declaring good stuff. Start declaring the promises of God, and let's start being vulnerable and a family and love each other through this together. Well done. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Super duper. You're a trooper. Ah, oh, thanks, Pips. It's real. Our relationships will only be as strong as we're willing to be real, as we're willing to risk them. They'll only be as healthy as we're willing to put them out there, and as we're willing to be vulnerable, transparent. That's what God's expecting of us. We're living in the audience of God, one, but we also, God sets us in family, better together, better in his family. And I felt, you know, there's some picture that I've been looking at. I mean, Ash is a property developer, and so often when he's turning over a property, there's a skip outside and there's just lots of mess. And I felt God really highlight, we're all a work in progress. And when you look at a building site, you think, my goodness, I'm glad I don't have them as builders, because it just looks like chaos. It just looks like an absolute tip with a skip. You've got chaotic calamities. You've got health hazards. It's like a demolition derby. I mean, Jed's worked on one of these building sites and there was rats running across it. I don't know which was more scary, the rats or the rubble. But there was all of that happening. And yet, you know, behind it, there's a master architect. There's a developer. There's somebody, even the builder. They have a picture in mind. They know what they're about. And you've got to trust, you know, as a homeowner, you think, man, this doesn't look good. But things need to be stripped back. Things need to be broken down. Things need to be taken off so that they can be added to and then built up. And that's part and parcel of our life, this journey of faith that Pippa's been talking about. Hearing the voice of the Father, going on this journey, walking with him, knowing his voice, and then keeping in step with the Spirit. And so don't despair if your life's like a little bit of a building site and you identify with that picture this morning, because God wants to give you another picture, and maybe Abby can pull this picture up. You know, when snow comes, there's just an incredible beauty. That's Liverpool. That's Liverpool. I didn't take the picture, but I thought, wow, man, it looks just magical. It looks like a bit like Narnia. It just looks with crisp, clean snowfall. And if you think of Isaiah 1:18, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Only God can take our brokenness and make it beautiful. And out of the mess, bring a message. Out of the tests and the trials and the tribulations, to bring out a testimony. God specializes in taking brokenness. He's close to the brokenhearted. He binds up the brokenhearted and he brings healing. And that we are trophies of grace. You know, I never thought I would ever be a leader, never mind in the kingdom or anywhere. And yet God's chosen to take the minuses in my life and bring pluses out of them. And just the things that he's done have been able to help others take steps of faith. And you know, when you think of God preparing people, David, Now, here was a man after God's own heart, from a shepherd, you know, it's a good training ground being a shepherd, to hear the master or great shepherd's voice. But he had a demonized Saul, and God liked it. A demonized Saul who hounded him to the caves, to the ends of the, I mean, he had to go into desert caves to get away from this demonized Saul who was throwing spears at him. And God liked it. And yet he became a man after God's own heart. And then you look at the process with Esther. It was very different. She had a year's pampering. All the ladies say, oh, I'll go with that. Beauty treatment for a year on the house, on the palace. And she you know, did incline her ear to some wise counsel, and she also ended up being able to be quite discreet, actually, in some of her decisions and the wisdom that God gave her. But her training ground was very different to David's. God knows what he's about. And this poem, and it's really aimed at the blokes, because how many of you guys, if you're really honest, we talk about vulnerability. Guys, we tend to be proud, egotistical, defensive, threatened. We tend to be those who need a lot more knocking into shape. And my wife will be saying, yes. Because there is a trend of this kind of hard-headedness and this digging our heels in. And you know, any three words that can heal a marriage are, I'm sorry. And how hard is it for guys, us guys, to say those words, I'm sorry. And yet, if you look at Saul, before he became the great apostle Paul, God had to flatten him. God had to blind him. God had to lead him into a desert, Arabian desert. God had to sort him out. And here was a man who was learned in the words of God. He was not like God had to say, okay, let's start in the beginning was the word. God had to get hold of him and actually take him into obscurity because there was a great call on his life. And then eventually, even then, he has the thorn in the flesh to stop him from becoming conceited. So here's a poem for the blokes. But I think if you're a lady that identifies with some of the male attributes of hard-headedness and stubbornness and whatever, then maybe this is for you too. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create such a great and bolder man that all the world shall be amazed, watch his methods, watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects. How he hammers him that hurts him and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay that only God understands. And while his tormented heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses and with every purpose fuses him, with every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. God knows what he's about. Friends, you are God's workmanship. You are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I want to ask you one question. This year, what area in your life do you want God to work on? Because you've got, as Pippa said, you've got to be intentional. You've got to say, is it in the area of my relationships? Is it in my workplace? My recreation or leisure time? Is it in my finances? Is it more personal? Is it emotionally in my life? Is it intellectually, physically? Maybe there's areas in all of these, because our spiritual health is tied into those. You see, what or who we are is really dependent on what we focus or who we focus on. And I think a building site, there's often so-and-so construction at the site. Maybe we need to hold up a sign, God at work. In each of our lives, God at work. That I'm a work in progress. That God is at work. And we can't ignore the chief architect and builder. He wants to work in you and through you. And we come to him, the foundation, the living stone, the cornerstone, the one that anchors everything and watch everything lines up. The plumb line, to use building analogies. As he says in Peter, and as I'm going to bring this to a close, as you come to him, the living stone, you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God It's 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 6. And precious to him. Friends, you are precious to him. If you hear anything this morning, know that you are precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." You're part of the unashamed. He takes your shame as you put your trust in him. And the leveling thing is, who's in charge? Are we God's workmanship or are we our own? Are we self-made, man-made, or God-made? That's a good question. Are we living to please others or ourselves or God? And so, friends, for time, I know that we have shorter services with lockdown. But I want to encourage you, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Will be faithful to complete it. As you respond to him and you say, "God, not my will, yours." You see, we don't get saved by acknowledging a Savior. We come to faith by making him Lord of every area. As people are saying, just bringing your thoughts into alignment, bringing your speech, your everything into saying, "God, you are the center. Be the center of my life," as that song goes. For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, as the scripture on the board says. Can we ask Naomi to come up, maybe with the band? And there's so much God's wanting to affirm in your lives this morning. We are a work in progress. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, the promise of God is if you cry out to him from your heart, he will hear you and he will forgive you. The grace of God is extending towards you. Can we stand together this morning? God, help us to see through new eyes and a new light. Help us to see ourselves as you see us, even the hopes and the plans and the future that you have. Not to harm us, but to prosper. Not to necessarily strip back for no purpose, but to build in and to add to and to release us into all that you've purposed. Your handiwork, your workmanship. God, thank you that you're calling, even this morning, us to step into new things. The more, the new, the purposes and the everything that you've purposed and hoped and planned. That master architect, that blueprint that you have over our lives. And that picture comes to mind right now. It's like you're rolling out your word as the blueprint. You're rolling out the scriptures over our lives and just saying, "I want to take you to this and I want to take you to that and I want to show this to you and I want to show that to you." That you may see yourself in a new way and see yourself through new eyes and a new light. So God, help us to do that this morning. Help us to see ourselves as you see us. Not through the eyes of the past. Lord, we're not prisoners to our past. You've called us into a future that's glorious in you. Inspired hope of a preferable future. And I want to speak that over you this morning. God is able to do more than you could possibly even dream or imagine or even ask. God, do the more. Do the more in our lives. Do the more, Lord. Here I am, Lord. This is my desire to worship you with all of my heart, Lord, to honor you. To honor you. Thank you, Lord.